Hello and welcome to episode one of the Linguistics HQ podcast, in which I'm going to tell you exactly what linguistics is and why we need to know about it. I'm also going to talk about why we need a podcast on linguistics and give you an idea of some of the fascinating things I'm going to share with you throughout the series. So firstly, a bit about me. I'm Dr. Rebecca Mitchell, and I'm an affiliated lecturer in French and linguistics at the University of Cambridge, and I've also worked in secondary language teaching for many years. My special field of interest is language in sub-Saharan Africa. I consider myself something of a language activist too, because I'm on a mission to get people thinking, talking, and learning about linguistics, even if maybe it's something that hasn't crossed their mind before. I'm also a bit obsessed with learning foreign languages, and I'm currently on my 26th one, but that's a story for another day. What then is linguistics? You may already know the answer to that question, in which case that's fantastic, you're off to a head start. But in case you don't know, don't worry, because I'm not going to assume any prior knowledge in this podcast. What I try to do is open linguistics up to everybody to try and make it a popular science which is accessible to as many people as possible. Essentially, linguistics is the science of language. It's a social science, sort of the missing link, if you like, which joins together so many threads of our makeup as human beings and underpins all our communicative behaviour. Linguistics essentially looks at the inner workings of language, by which I mean the basic elements that languages in general are made up of, things like words, sounds or signs, or relationships between words. Once we have an understanding of those structures, linguistics also covers how we can use that knowledge in the real world to do useful and exciting things. In terms of the kinds of structures that linguists look at, we've got sound systems, which are different from one language to another, and that's phonology. We've got how words are formed and created, which we call morphology. We've got how sentences are put together, which is syntax. And we've got the study of meaning, both with regard to individual words and whole sentences, which is semantics and pragmatics. All of this comes under the heading of theoretical linguistics, or the inner circle in inverted commas, as the famous linguist Jean Aitchison called it in her edition of Teach Yourself Linguistics. Now we come to the useful things we can do with that knowledge, which is what we call applied linguistics, or the outer rings. If you were to look up linguistics in a certain well-known online encyclopedia, you would come across a very long list of subfields. And what I think is amazing about linguistics is just how much you can do with it. It's the ultimate crossover discipline with something for everyone, no matter what you're interested in. Whether you're into computing, languages, history or geography, there's something for you. Even physics. I met a physics teacher recently at a school where I went to give a talk. And he said to me, "I'm not really sure what linguistics is." So I explained in very brief terms. And he said, "Oh, that sounds a bit like coding. I can relate to that." My own favourite subdiscipline is sociolinguistics, which is anything to do with how our language use changes based on what we call our variables, our characteristics as human beings, such as gender, age, geographical origin and education level and things like that. I've got lots more to say about that in future episodes. Then there's computational linguistics, which is the intersection of language and computing, for example, in speech recognition technology or translation tools or online dictionaries. Forensic linguistics is an exciting one. That's where a linguist might be used in a counter-terrorism investigation to listen to a terror suspect's speech or to analyse something that they've written to try to identify them or determine exactly where they come from. Then we've got, for example, neurolinguistics and psycholinguistics, which are to do with the brain and the mind and how they process language data, and language planning and language ecology, which involve important things like which language should be an official language in a country, which languages should be protected by laws or used in the education system or the media. Linguistics is a very old discipline which goes back thousands of years. One of the earliest known scholars to write about language structures was a man called Panini. He lived over 2,500 years ago in what is now Pakistan, and he formulated about 4,000 rules to describe the Sanskrit language. And in fact, he's regarded by many as the forerunner of modern theories used to specify computer languages. In spite of its long history, linguistics isn't generally as well known as other sciences. It's rather elusive, and it has this elusive nature because we don't usually learn about it at school. At school, we're mostly presented with language in the form of foreign language lessons or grammar or translation or creative writing. And we don't really look at how language works or crucially see it through the lens of other academic subjects, in spite of the fact that language is actually central to our lives and we can all relate to it in some way. Linguistics holds the key to our own communicative behaviour, and it helps us understand, I think, a great many aspects of our culture and our society. If we take, for example, the fact that so many of our communities are now multicultural, many of us know someone who wasn't born in our country, whose first language isn't, say, English, whose parents' first language isn't English. And I think personally, it's really important to know something about other languages spoken in our communities, not to be able to speak them ourselves necessarily, but just to know that they're there and where they've come from and what kinds of languages they are. I remember once travelling on a train from Bristol to London, and when the train stopped in Southall on the outskirts of West London, I glimpsed the station signs on the platform, which were written in both English and in a mystery script, including the name of the station and instructions to passengers such as stay on the left. I thought this was fascinating, and I wanted to know what alphabet this was and why Southall station had all these signs written in a different script. I actually made a special trip to Southall subsequently to investigate, and of course the mystery script turned out to be Punjabi, and that's because there's a very large Asian population of Punjabi origin there. I think too that if we know a bit about other languages in our communities, it helps us understand phenomena like, say, code switching. You may have heard somebody who has a mixed language background, perhaps mixing languages together in a sentence, and you might think, well, is that because they don't speak one of the languages very well, or maybe they don't speak either very well, or they just don't know a certain word in a particular language? I've even known people who code switch themselves, saying that they're worried about their own behaviour, and does it mean that they're not very competent in their parents' languages? But it's actually a phenomenon which is very usual. It's very normal among bilinguals and in bilingual or multilingual environments. And linguistics gives us that insight into what's going on language-wise around us, which makes that sort of thing a bit easier to understand. Gender too is a hot topic at the moment, and pronouns are changing. For example, our use of the pronoun they in English no longer exclusively means a plural. It can refer to any gender in a singular form. And there are some languages other than English which are developing their own new pronouns or new ways of referring to different genders or including different genders in one form or even ways of writing different genders at the same time, such as the so-called inclusive writing in French. Also, there are quite a lot of long-held and often unhelpful stereotypes about gender differences in speech, the typical one being that women are chatterboxes and they talk so much more than men. But statistically, this isn't actually true. In a mixed situation, men tend to dominate a conversation. And I think these are things which are important to understand. And guess what? Linguistics holds the key. Something else which ties in with unhelpful stereotypes is accent discrimination, which is alive and kicking in 2025 in Britain. And I'll look into it a bit more in episodes on sociolinguistics. The BBC did a report a few months ago on hierarchies of accents and interviewed people who believed that their accents gave a negative impression of them. And they felt discriminated against socially or professionally, particularly because of the way in which they spoke. If we know a bit about linguistics, we can understand why accents are different and that they're not a basis upon which to make assumptions about someone's professional competence. Pragmatics is an area of linguistics which looks at meaning in context, and among other things, it's concerned with matters such as politeness, degrees of formality in language, the way in which you might use your tone of voice to express what you mean and register. An understanding of these factors is essential if you want to make a good impression in society, particularly in Britain, of course, where, as everyone knows, there's the stereotype of the British person as someone who's very polite and says please and thank you all the time. I think it was Meghan Markle who said that if a British person were walking down the street and bumped into a lamppost, they'd probably apologise. Most people are brought up to understand things like taking turns in a conversation or the difference between polite or informal or rude ways of saying things. And once again, it's largely instinctive and something we take for granted, but it's all part of linguistics. If you're learning a foreign language, and let's face it, I spend most of my time doing that, and you know a bit about how languages are put together, it does make them a lot easier to learn. That's from my personal experience. But I think it's also really important to know about your first language too, as part of your identity. My first language is English, as you can probably guess. And for me, it's important to know a bit about where English has come from and where it's going and why it's so different around the world. Then we've got AI and IT. We use language-related computer applications increasingly. I wrote a little script for this podcast and I use the dictation function in Word, which, by the way, is really useful. And people use ChatGPT more and more for all kinds of tasks, and it's learned how to process and respond to human language prompts. Alexa and Siri use voice recognition. Google Translate might come in handy when you go on holiday. And all of these things are language-based applications on computers and phones. They're in our homes, our pockets, our bags, and we use them on a daily basis all the time. I just want to say something as well about neurological conditions. This is another really interesting area. I think in our society nowadays, there's a growing awareness of things like dementia and autism, which affect people's language processing capacity. I have a friend who has autism and didn't speak until he was 4. And my mother had dementia for many years, and I now volunteer with elderly folk as well. So I've seen for myself that it has a profound effect on people's ability to process and produce language, whether in writing or in speech. So many of us know of somebody affected by one of these conditions nowadays, and I think it's really helpful to understand why their language use is different. Also, quite apart from anything else, language is one of the most central aspects of being a human being, and I think it's kind of our duty to know about it. If you go to a quiz, there'll be questions about world capitals and Olympic records and numbers of hit singles. But I don't think I've ever been to a quiz where there have been questions about languages, and there ought to be. Language knowledge ought to be part of our general cultural knowledge in the same way as things like sport and the arts. Finally, I wanted to share with you why I've decided to launch a podcast about linguistics. I give a lot of talks on linguistics. I go to schools and I go to organisations varying from GCHQ, which is the British government's intelligence agency, to the British Guild of Tourist Guides. And my talks are mainly aimed at non-specialists. I don't deliver talks to academics because they don't need convincing that linguistics is interesting and important. And they already know a lot about it as well, of course. I give talks mainly to people who are interested in languages and who are curious about them, but may not necessarily know anything about linguistics. And I'm always really struck by how it sparks people's interest. I remember a maths teacher who came up to me after a talk I gave at a school, and he said that if he'd known about linguistics when he himself was at school, he wouldn't have chosen to do a maths degree. Also, after the first talk I gave at the language show, when it was held in person at Kensington Olympia, those golden days, there was a queue of people snaking around the room, wanting to talk to me and ask questions and continue the conversation, including a man who was very worried about his accent and wanted my advice on how he could get rid of it. And of course, I told him not to. I've always been so struck by how much public interest there is in linguistics. Also, I've been teaching undergraduates for many years, and I'm always aware that many of them have never studied linguistics before. In fact, the majority haven't, because it's not something you can do at school usually, or at least not in Britain. There's no official course or exam that you can do. You've got to be very self-motivated to study it at university, and you've got to have heard of it and have read or been told something about it in the first place. For these reasons, I'm always trying to think of ways to increase awareness about linguistics, particularly among young people, because they're tomorrow's undergraduates and researchers and educators and podcasters and vloggers who are going to popularise linguistics in the future. My first idea when I was thinking about ways to democratise linguistics was to write a book, and I prepared an outline for one with a chapter summary and a couple of sample chapters, and the book was to be aimed at 11 to 14-year-olds, so lower secondary age in Britain. But I realised it's actually inordinately difficult to have a book published. You wouldn't think so if you went into a bookshop and saw the hundreds, thousands of books on display, which somehow get through agents and through publishers and get onto shelves. But it is actually extremely difficult, and agents and publishers are very particular about the kinds of things they accept. You see stuff on their websites like, "I currently only accept Gothic reworkings of Paddington from Indigenous Hawaiian authors." That's the sort of obstacle you're up against, folks, if you want to try and publish a book. Anyway, I thought, what would be a quicker way to get knowledge about linguistics out to people at a grassroots level? So I came up with the idea of a podcast, and then I also decided to launch the first ever National Linguistics Day, which is on November the 26th in 2024, and will take place on that very day again soon. So start thinking about how you're going to celebrate. The Linguistics HQ podcast has got lots in store for you, so please do stay tuned. We're going to cover all the different areas of linguistics, which I mentioned earlier in this edition, and many more. And we're going to look at all the ways in which we can do useful and exciting things with linguistics in the real world. We'll look at the exploits of famous linguists and the latest news from the language world. And I've got lots of fun facts and anecdotes up my sleeve as well. All your burning questions will be answered, ranging from "Why can't my cat talk?" to "Why are so many of the world's languages dying out and what are we going to do about it?" This season will comprise fortnightly shows focusing on language structures from sounds through to meaning, and there will also be a Black History Month special on pioneering linguists of African heritage and their contribution to the field. Do feel free to contact me via www.linguisticshq.co.uk with any questions you may have or suggestions of things you'd like me to include. You can also find me on LinkedIn as Dr. Rebecca Mitchell and on TikTok as LinguisticsHQ. So now you know that you need linguistics in your life, and guess what? It was there all the time anyway, even though you maybe didn't realise. Hit subscribe and join me for episode 2, in which I'll tell you all about sound systems. Bye for now.